National Radio Club. Welcome back to part two of the DX Audio Service for November 2013. A DX test from WNDB 1150 kHz in Daytona Beach, Florida will be conducted on Saturday morning, December the 7th at about 1 o'clock Eastern local time. The program will consist of voice announcements alternating with Morse code IDs at 5 words per minute, and the test will be conducted using the station's 1,000 watts non-directional facilities. This test was arranged by Bobby Gray, Director of Engineering for the station, and mailed reports can be sent to WNDB Test, attention Bobby Gray, 126 West International Speedway Boulevard, Daytona Beach, Florida, 32114, or you can email them at bobbygray@engineer.com. And we hope that you have a chance to listen for this test and also report it. And that's our CPC calendar.
Now hear this. We're the Tiger of Radio. WTMA Radio Charleston.
Hi, DXers. Welcome to Market Scope for November 2013. Again, we are rummaging through the AirCheck library, picking out miscellaneous tapes for your enjoyment. Let's start this month just north of the border.
ZKLC.
ZKLC, the music leader, with Glass Tiger. It's Someday. 1154 in Ontario's Music Leader. I'm Dave King, and your chance of being a winner is coming up.
There's the way.
The United Way.
CKLC's got it. You can have it. Brand new Huey Lewis and the News album called Four. I'll take on the number six now at 6-5-3-2-8-1. If it's you, you're a winner from number one, CKOC. 1156 of music continues next hour, but now, Wang Chung, everyone have fun tonight.
Drive a million miles to be with you tonight.
CKOC News.
It's 12 o'clock. This is Bob Young.
American. Ha 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 ha. It's a laugh. The classics are back on KB 1520. Burton Cummings and the Guess Who from 17 years ago. 10 minutes after 12 noon, Mark Phillips, now a Sunday afternoon with 49 degrees, bright sunshine in western New York. It's going to be on the chilly side, and AccuWeather says by Tuesday the possibility of mixed snow and rain, probably over the higher elevation south of here, I would imagine. We'll check the complete forecast coming up in just a few minutes. Let's take a look at another event that took place this week in history. Did you know that this week in 1937, the world almost ended? That's true. An asteroid called Hermes whizzed by the Earth, missing it by a mere 500,000 miles. Now, if its trajectory had been just a fraction of a degree off, it would have come close enough to our orbit to have destroyed the planet. Boy. And I don't know about you, but for my money, having your planet destroyed can really mess up your afternoon.
1520 KB Radio is happy to tell you that the music that made KB a legend is back. And the weekend of November 14th, some of the legends that made the legend will also be back. Joey Reynolds, Jay Nelson, Don Burns, Jeff Kay, Sandy Beach, Art Wander, Tom Shannon, and Rod Roddy. For that one weekend, you can relive the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s the way it was. Keep listening for further details. The legend that was KB is back.
It's Sears New Century and time to celebrate with a great value in radial tires.
There's more for your life.
We install confidence.
At Sears.
See warranty for details.
From 1965 on KB 1520. 49 degrees. Check AccuWeather for you after America.
Two heartbeats of grass walking down the road.
1520 with all your solid gold favorites like America from 1972, Ventura Highway, Alligator Lizards in the Air. Yes, I enjoy watching the alligator lizards every time I visit the Buffalo Zoo with the family. It's 20 minutes after 12 right now, 49 degrees, going to really feel like November with some chilly temperatures the next couple days. Afternoon, breezy and chilly, sunshine and occasional cloudiness, high 49. Tonight, becoming clear and cold, low 30. For Monday, a mixture of clouds and sunshine with a windy afternoon, high again of 49. That's where we are now with sunshine in downtown Buffalo, 49 degrees.
The AccuWeather Forecast, here on KB.
I'm J.D. Hughes. Thanks for joining us today on Sunday Morning Magazine. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
WGRR.
Oldies 103.5.
And now, another hour of great oldies.
With Ted McAllister.
Present.
The Oldies Countdown.
Little before 8 o'clock, I'm Ted McAllister. This is Music Magazine. On a goodbye to summer weekend, we're counting down the top 25 hits of the tri-state exactly the way they were on Labor Day weekend, September 4th, 1960. We'll hear from The King, The Chubby Man, Brenda Lee, Cincinnati's own Hank Ballard, Roy Orbison, Fats Domino, Sam Cooke, Bobby V. What a countdown. Let's get it started.
Number 25.
Here's a man who was a country singer, songwriter, and appeared in over 50 movies. Johnny Bond at number 25 with Hot Rod Lincoln.
Now, you've heard the story of the Hot Rod race where the Ford and the Mercury was setting the pace. That story is true, I'm here to say, because I was a-driving that Model A.
Ted McAllister.
Yes, I am.
WGRR. Number 24.
Here comes a two-sided hit for the boys from Brownie, Kentucky on their way up the charts. Side A, So Sad. Everly Brothers at number 24 this week in 1960.
We used to have good times together. So sad to watch good love go.
WGRR.
Oldies 103.5.
Twins. Spin.
Number 24.
WGRR, Oldies 103.5, two-sided hit for the Everly Brothers at number 24 on September 4th, 1960, and climbing toward the top 10, Lucille and So Sad, a Music Magazine's Oldies Countdown with Ted McAllister on an absolutely glorious morning. Although I do have to warn you, you might want to pack a light jacket or a sweater this morning. I came in with a short-sleeved shirt, and I had to turn the heater on in the car. I ain't complaining, though. Channel 9 Doppler Radar Center, sunshine today, 76 for the high, clear skies tonight. Just a slight chance of rain for the Channel 9 Toyota fireworks at Riverfest. Until tonight, about 55. And then cloudy for Labor Day tomorrow, high of 78. Right now, it's clear and 53 at WGRR, Oldies 103.5. You know, we've given away hundreds of thousands of dollars in free cash, trips to exotic locations all over the world, and 8 vintage cars. Now get set to win something bigger and faster. At 7:20, we will answer the question.
Watch all this, brouhaha.
Details coming Tuesday morning on the Tri-State's Oldies Station. On with the countdown for this week in 1960.
Number 23.
Now, here's a man who was not in the recording industry at all. Wasn't a singer, wasn't a songwriter, but he did happen to have a photography shop in the same building of the songwriters of this song. And because he had an interesting southern drawl, the songwriters asked Larry Vern to switch careers for 3 minutes. It ends up becoming a number one hit and number 23 this week. Mr. Custer on Music Magazine. Whoa.
That famous day in history, the men of the 7th Cavalry went fighting on.
WCXI Chief Meteorologist Larry Taylor.
Currently 4 above, we have cloudy skies, no accidents to report. This is Mike Friedman on your station of the year for news and sports, WCXI Detroit, 6 o'clock.
The Reagan budget goes to Congress with big military spending, no cut in Social Security, and deep cuts in other programs. The big freeze chills the Midwest, and police look for a bomber in Athens. You're listening to Mutual News.
Good morning, world. I ain't afraid of you, 'cause this is gonna be a country day. A country Dino day. WCXI Dino day. WCXI.
There we go. I think I'll just take one big yawn, and then you all can come live in my mouth. I mean, it's a cave, I'll tell you. It's 4 degrees here. I started out in Howell about 4 below. It's a little colder in the suburbs, I guess. Well, actually, Howell is a suburb of Lansing.
We'll take good care of your car because we want Goodyear to be your auto service center for good.
George Strait is here on this cold morning. Some clouds moving in with a high of 17. That's not bad. 11 above 20. Oh, low 20s. Hey, we have a heat wave this week. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Did you know that it is Monday? It is the 4th day of February. This is, if you get paid by the month, this is the one where you figure you're really, getting the boss, right? And there's long 31-day ones. They're bad, but this is a good one. We're heading for a high today of 17. There's no problems in the freeway system this morning, and we've got to tell you about some of the things that are going on. This Thursday from 6 to 8 o'clock, I'll be over at Buff Whale and Chevrolet. We'll have a special surprise for you there. Maybe we'll tell you ahead of time towards the end of the week. Well, I don't know for sure, see. But I think they're going to be crushing some cars. Anyway, I better check that out. We'll be there, Country Lover Souvenirs with a CXI van and country store. And we'll be there this Thursday, 6 until 8 o'clock. Buff Whale and Chevrolet and Van Dyke and 18 Mile in Sterling Heights. And you people in Sterling Heights, we don't get out there too often. And so we'd like to have you drop by. When we get done with that, we're going to head out to the High Kicker Dockside, and where they now have 2 bands and a lot of fun. And I'll tell you what, it's an interesting concept what they're doing out there, but you can come see it for yourself on Thursday night, and we should be rolling in there about 9:30, 10 o'clock. So it's going to be a busy Thursday. I guess I'll have to take a nap all week.
It's happened for a quarter of a century now.
Art Van Furniture, till 9 tonight.
Tanya Tucker and WCXI. Is this going to be a Food Monday or not? What time is the food arriving? We're waiting for Martin. We'll be eating, Al, about 9:45. Saying, isn't this good? Can you see me tonight? No, you'll have to wait till Thursday when we go out to Buff's place, okay? That's all right. We got a construction note now on Southfield I-94 exchange resumes today sometime this morning, probably about 9. All the interchanges ramps will be closed. One lane in each direction will also close. Consequently, bottleneck. Increasing cloudiness today with a high of 17, and we'll be talking with Larry about this snow. How about this? Snow developing after midnight, and we'll probably have 1 to 3 inches expected. That means it's going to be slow going on the way in.
In 1960...
On Rogan Buick, eastbound Michigan Avenue and Wayne Road.
Well, good morning. 20 minutes after 6 o'clock, and we're going to our chief meteorologist. And good morning. Hi, Larry.
Well, hello, Dino.
Guess you got some snow coming in, huh?
Yes, we do, after midnight tonight. Nothing here during the day, though.
Oh, did you get your award yet?
No, I have not.
Did the mail come in yet?
Not yet, no.
Oh, what time does the mail usually get there?
Oh, usually about 9, 10 o'clock.
Oh, we're going to miss it. I hope it comes in early, because you're going to be so shocked. There really is an award, you know. I know you have he doesn't usually believe what I tell him.
That's
but
right.
There really is.
There really is.
Yeah, you can hang it right over your desk, or you can take it home, put it on your mantle, or whatever you want to do with it. Okay, let's get back to the forecast today. And the snow, you're saying 1 to 3 inches, but after midnight.
That's correct. Looks like, in fact, most of that accumulation will come tomorrow morning or during the day tomorrow.
Oh, that's good. Then I don't have to worry about driving in.
Well, you'll be driving in some snow, but you won't have, let's say you'll only have maybe a trace to a half inch down when you come in to work tomorrow morning.
Okay, and then it's going to snow.
Well, snow anyway through the day tomorrow.
All right. What else going on?
Okay, as far as today is concerned, we have clear skies right now. This is WCXI Chief Meteorologist Larry Taylor.
Thank you, Larry, and talk to you again next hour.
Okay.
Right now at your weather station, it is 4 degrees.
Country loving, country living, WCXI.
My mom and my dad was poor folks. My brother and my sister was poor folks.
Bill Anderson started out as a Whispering Bill. I don't know how he got to be called Whispering Bill, but you may find out if you watch Good Afternoon Detroit next week. We had an interview with Bill Anderson on the set of Fandango. If you got the Nashville Network, you probably follow along with him. And his career, he also has now a chain of restaurants called Po' Folks, just like after that song, and he named his group the Po' Boys. Well, you knew that, but the restaurants, I have there's one in Mount Clemens, and I have never eaten there, but Bill was telling me that there, and other people in Nashville, there's several of them, said they're great food. If you've eaten at one, why don't you let me know this morning? And then we'll be trying ribs out from somewhere else. That's all coming up. We can't hardly wait.
For the power, go for the glory,
and like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hello. 26 minutes after 6, we got somebody in the line who hasn't been there, but their in-laws go. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've been to Po' Folks?
Yeah, they serve their beverages in mason jars, and they got little kerosene lamps hanging all over it. He says it's really darling.
Well, good to know that.
Yeah, you'll have to go down there someday. We're going down in April.
You know, Bill told me when I was in Nashville that he is coming to town to go over to one of his restaurants, that one.
Uh-huh.
And so maybe we'll do a broadcast or an appearance or something. We'll all get together.
Oh, that would be fine. Let us know.
Okay. WCXI.
Yes.
Speak up. I can't hardly hear you.
Sorry about that. We've eaten at Poor Folks, both in Nashville and the one in Mount Clemens.
Any good?
Beautiful. Really good food.
Well, what's their specialty?
Well, it's just kind of...
Do they have any biscuits and gravy there?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. All kinds of it.
All right. Thanks. I'd heard it was good, but you never know. Well, Bill's always telling me how good it is, but you can't believe him. You know, his name's on him.
Well, we went to the one in Nashville. That's the first place we went. And then when we saw the one here in Mount Clemens, we tried that. And there was 8 of us that went, and there wasn't anything that we didn't like.
Oh, that's great. Okay, thanks.
All right.
Here's Mel Tillis on WCXI. It is 6:28.
Come on home to the arms of a fool.
Mel Tillis on WCXI at 6:30, and here with headlines is... I'm only kidding. You think we're going to jump right ahead when we get our big chance to talk? No, we wouldn't do that. Chris has been on the road again. Can tell by his Dennis the Menace hair.
That's right.
It's been a big day.
It's dry, static, you know.
Well, congratulations to Mike for your news department winning the Big Mac Award.
Thank you very much, and the same to you. What a terrific award for you.
Pretty good. Like Al said when I came in, let's pat each other in the back a lot.
Okay. No? Why not? Well, McFarland says we can't go into John's office and ask for a raise today.
Oh, no. Well, maybe Gene will read about it and say, you know, let's take care of those boys back there at WCX. I don't think I'll hold my breath, but
it's very nice, though. It's
well, Al, as Al said, you know, he's right off to help me a lot in this program. He's always the one behind me pushing, you know, to do a better work. And says, "Gee, you can't even win nothing. You got to tie it." Hey, it's better than poking the eye with a sharp stick, I'll tell you that. I'm very proud to be in company like J.P. McCarthy. Anyway, I guess we better get to the sports reports coming up. But before we get there, the way to get there is to go through Mike and the headlines.
Thank you. We'll go through these as fast as we can. 4 above at WCXI. That's sports to the moment. I'm Chris McClure. Now more country, pure and simple, with Dino Day.
Okay. Goodbye. Yeah, we were just talking with one of our listeners on the telephone. They wanted me to play hockey here today. We just recently played it. Okay, we do have a Monday, and it's going to be a busy one, as per usual. $402 in the cash box, and that's after 9 o'clock this morning. I want to remind everybody, they call it the first lady of country music is Tammy Wynette. And she comes to the High Kicker Dockside in Great Plains for two great shows on Sunday, February 17th. You can listen for details. You may win some tickets off your Uncle Dino and the other personalities here at WCXI any moment. So you got to be tuned in, though. You know what I mean? And I'll be there to MC the afternoon show that day. I think it goes at 2:30, somewhere like that. So if that's the tickets we're giving away, we'll get a chance to bump into each other. And I'm going to hit you hard. It's Monday, the 4th of February.
This is Bob Allison for Bobson Construction Company. Phone 357-1240.
When you get up in the morning, you want to find out, okay, what time it is. I never, for some reason, have clocks around the house, but you don't trust them. You got to hear it on the radio, and then you know for sure, except when you're listening to me occasionally. At 6, not looking for instance, that there is, no, that is right, isn't it? It is coming up 6:42. I am in disbelief as one increasing cloudiness today with a high of 17 degrees. Cloudy tonight with snow developing after midnight. 1 to 3 inch accumulation should happen sometime tomorrow, though. Overnight low 11 above. Cloudy tomorrow with snow tapering off to flurries and a high of 21. It's not bad after what we've been living with. For Wednesday, variable clouds with a chance of flurries again. The high will be in the low 20s. And it's right now, 4 at your weather station.
Country loving, country.
Ricky Skaggs and WCXI, you're with Uncle Dino in the morning. How in the world are you today? Eastbound Ford near Greenfield, three cars in the left lane with their four-ways on, so something must have happened. That's eastbound Ford near Greenfield, three cars in the left lane with their four-ways on. All Southfield, M39, that's Southfield, 994 interchange ramps will be closed this morning around 9 o'clock. One lane in each freeway in each direction is also closed. Some interchange-related work continues there until 1987. Are you kidding me? Official recommended detours are using Telegraph and Ford Roads as connectors. Airport detour using Southfield to westbound Jeffries to I-275 to eastbound 94 to the airport, and then you cut off your Slauson.
Fights halitosis.
We'll dedicate this song to everybody with halitosis this morning. Listening to Uncle Dino and WCXI. 11 minutes until 7 o'clock, and it's 4 degrees. Well, from stinky breath, we're going to, well, if you don't do something about it, we're going to send you out to the rodeo here at WCXI.
Well, it's 40 below, and I don't give a f***. Got a heater in my truck, and I'm off to the rodeo.
It's 6 minutes before 7 o'clock on WCXI. It is time for a news update, and here is another award-winning Mike Friedman.
Thank you, Dino. Good morning. 4 above at WCXI. Cloudy skies. One school closing to report. In Detroit, our Lady Gate of Heaven.
And that's Market Scope for another month. I hope you enjoyed our look back. Remember, if you'd like to share your hometown radio air checks with your fellow DXers, send your recordings to me, Phil Wayne, at 7545 County Highway 71. Harpster, Ohio, 43323-9364. The DX Audio Service editors and members would be most thankful. And before I forget, may you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Now here are the musings from the members.
Serving Detroit since radio began. WWJ Detroit.
This is Rusty Curry in Eugene, Oregon. I've got a little bit to add on the Insignia tabletop radio mentioned in the September issue. It is an excellent performer, both on HD and on regular FM. I'm sure a radio without DSP that worked that well on analog FM would have to cost much more. The problem I've had with mine is that when it's been running on AC for a while, the buttons tend to lock up. So I would advise that if you get one, it would probably be good to run it off the adapter for several days, maybe anyway, to make sure it doesn't have that tendency. Also, one thing I've noticed in my area is our local family radio station has been broadcasting dead air for the last several days. And so there might be some changes going on there. If you have one of those in your area, maybe a station changing hands or possibly leaving the air. That's all I've got. 73s, everyone.
I have a technical question. Comes in two parts. On the CD, how can you tell which side is the right side to play it on? And number two, how do you get dust, or if you have something on a CD, how do you get it off the CD? Should you use a paper towel or a washcloth, or what do you do?
This is Tim Hendel in Huntsville with my thoughts on AM reception. We talk and talk and talk about the problems related to AM radio, but it seems to me that the most obvious solution is not discussed. Lessening of interference caused by other electronic devices. The industry needs to pressure the FCC super hard, and then the FCC would pressure manufacturers of devices such as microwaves, computers, air conditioners, television sets. At the design level in the factories, build in interference suppression. If this suppression were built in at the moment of design of these products, it wouldn't cost that much. And some of the worst offenders at all, the power lines and the transformers and other things they attach to the power lines, which then have miles and miles of long antennas to propagate their RF interference. Why doesn't the FCC do something about this? We had an RCA television set in the 1950s, and that thing generated massive interference on the AM band, including to my RCA radio. Yet RCA didn't care. The FCC didn't care. The small filters that could have been built into each TV set at an additional price of just a few dollars was not done. As I said, RCA didn't care, the FCC didn't care, and the general public didn't know. Let's get after these RF polluters, and AM reception would be a lot better without power increases and translators and the like.
This is John Wesley Smith in Hallsville, Missouri, and I just found out from Don League in South Carolina, who is acquainted with the BBN stations, Bible Broadcasting Network, that BBN acquired 630 AM, in St. Louis, now going under the call letters KYFI. Don't know how long they've been that way, but it's been within the last few weeks anyway. They put out a pretty big daytime signal, and they are one of the St. Louis stations that I get here in the daytime, but not one that I paid attention to very much. They had been a Christian station with a different outfit before, so now they're BBN, a more conservative-type station. And we had a couple of Cumulus FM swaps here. They swapped frequencies between country and sports. CBS Sports Radio went from a more powerful signal to a weaker signal, and they moved the country and repackaged it, moved it from the weaker signal to the stronger signal. That didn't make any sense to me. They should have kept the sports where it was, but hey, I'm not one of the consultants getting paid the big bucks.
Hello, everyone. Joe Schwab with an update from Richmond, Virginia. On September 27th, Radio Disney, WDZY on 1290, went silent. When I called them, I was transferred to a station called KWDZ, which is a Radio Disney station out in Oklahoma somewhere, and I could not find any additional information about what was going on. Also, probably most of you are aware, but just in case you're not, WKB in Buffalo has gone to the ESPN format. And 670 in Claremont, WRJR, seems to be off the air as well. I haven't been able to get them in the past week or so. They may be having some technical difficulties, but they're not coming in up here. I called the station. They said they were coming. They were on the air. But I certainly can't get them, so maybe they're operating at low power. 73s, everyone. Good evening.
This is Mike Lance in Aventura, Florida. I think I figured out the problem with AM radio. And the problem is simply that AM radio is not entertaining anymore. Most of the people that run radio stations in today's market, they have no idea of the track record of what that radio station used to be and what they are doing nowadays. They don't even care for what they used to be. Thank you very much, and Good to hear you.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. If you'd like to muse, give us a call at area code 419-741-0205. 24 hours a day for DX Audio Service and EDXN members. And to answer some questions about CDs, how do you know which side is which? Well, if you play a CD and you can hear music, that is the music side of the CD, and the other is the printed side. But seriously, sometimes you can feel the texture of the CD. Obviously, the smooth, like glass side is the optical side, and then if it has a little texture to it, that is the printed side of the CD. Sometimes the ink does rise up just about a thousandth of an inch, and you can sense that, but otherwise, it's kind of hard to tell. And as far as cleaning a CD, well, I do a lot of CDs here in the studio, and I'll tell you the best thing I've found is if you go to a place like AutoZone or Advanced Auto Care, some of those car places and stuff, and get a bag of these terry cloth cleaning cloths that the guys will use on their classic cars. It's a very soft cloth. Just have those around, and if you have to clean it with something, probably the best thing to do is use something like a standard Windex. Nothing with any kind of oils or creams in it. You don't want to use like a Kleenex tissue with alum in it or any kind of cleaner that might leave a residue, because that can mess up the optics. And that's our musings to the members.
I'm Charlie Van Dyke, and you're listening to the DX Audio Service from the National Radio Club.
Promising signs in all digital AM tests. Early results from the first ever significant tests of all digital AM broadcasting on a Class A station produced remarkably robust reception, according to an engineer involved in the trials. The tests were conducted on Greater Media's News Talk WBT Charlotte 1110 and focused on mobile and skywave signal reception. Despite these positive results, engineers say more trials are needed. NAB Labs and Ibiquity have been working with broadcasters to test all digital AM transmission on different station classes. The most recent trials, which took place from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. on August 17 and August 18 on WBT's 50,000-watt clear channel signal, follow earlier tests on a Class B and an expanded band AM. They occurred when WBT was operating in its normal nighttime directional mode, when skywaves carry its signal from Canada to Cuba, as the station boasts. Five vehicles equipped with factory-installed HD radios and laptops running custom software to monitor signal reception were used. While final results are still being analyzed by NAB Labs, Greater Media VP of Radio Engineering Milford Smitty Smith says WBT's all-digital AM signal was remarkably robust in the Charlotte Metro. There were very few of the typical impediments, like the signal disappearing under wires and overpasses, he says. For the most part, it just hung in there and didn't fail. Smith says the signal coverage area was quite good, but still requires further analysis. Test results of WBT's all-digital skywave signal are purely anecdotal. Based on feedback from NAB Radio Technology Committee members tuning in up and down the East Coast, it held its own against the analog signal. The digital skywave propagation was at least on par with analog propagation and was far superior in terms of quality, Smith says. That's an about-face from nighttime analog-digital hybrid AM broadcasts, which have been described as a nightmare. In addition to Greater Media engineers, representatives from transmitter manufacturer Nautel, Ibiquity, and the NAB participated in the tests. With interference making AM radio unlistenable in a growing number of situations, and most listeners tuned into FM, AM radio faces monumental challenges. Since December, three AMs have tested all-digital IBOC transmission, which some envision as a long-term, albeit somewhat radical, solution to AM radio's signal challenges. Tests conducted on Beasley Broadcast Rhythmic Oldies WNCT, Greenville, North Carolina, 1080, on July 8, are characterized as very promising, while trials for CBS Radio's Sports Radio 1660, WBCN Charlotte, were positive for in-car reception, less so for picking up the signal indoors. While encouraged by the results so far, engineers say more trials are needed. The testing we have done so far is very promising, but we need to do a lot more testing before we can judge the long-term benefits, says Beasley VP of Engineering Mike Cooney, who serves as chairman of the NAB's Radio Technology Committee. Smith says it's important not to put the cart before the horse on all digital AM. We're learning things as we go forward, but out of the box it looks very encouraging, he says. On the ground wave signals, most of the AM irritants that cause people to tune out seem to be tremendously mitigated by all the... On the ground wave signals, most of the AM irritants that cause people to tune out seem to be tremendously mitigated by the all-digital transmission. The trade-off for going all-digital on AM is millions of analog receivers would become obsolete. But CBS Radio CEO Dan Mason sees an analog AM sunset as a viable solution, providing there is a long-term transition plan, similar to TV's 7-year digital conversion. It's not like overnight every AM radio is going to go bad, Mason says. Such a conversion could help drive growth and partnerships in the consumer electronics industry. CBS Radio is an investor in Ubiquiti. I'm probably in the camp of a long-term analog sunset. Call it a digital sunrise, Mason says. I'm in that camp for a lot of reasons.
Worldwide, de-expeditions hunt elusive radio signals, by James Careless in the September 3, 2013 issue of Radio World. Montevideo, Uruguay. Uruguay's Horacio Negro is an amateur radio operator, call sign CX3BZ, an international shortwave radio listener blogger, and an avid fan of de-expeditions. Either alone or accompanied by other radio enthusiasts, de-expeditions are journeys to sparsely populated low-interference zones requiring supplies such as high-end radio equipment and long-wire antennas. As for the expression de-expedition, DX is an old Morse code term for the word distance, and a DXer is the radio hobbyist who seeks distant radio signals. I started my own saga of personal de-expeditions going to Valizas, a seaside village in the Atlantic coast of Uruguay, with a Kenwood R600 communications receiver and my first beverage antenna, said Negro. A beverage antenna is a very large and sensitive horizontal wire antenna requiring hundreds of feet of linear space for optimal deployment. It was essential to catch the first medium wave stations across the Atlantic and also the Middle East. Negro was also able to receive distant faint FM signals from Puerto Rico, Chile, and Venezuela, carried far beyond their normal line of sight range by rare conditions in the ionosphere overhead. Collectively, these are unforgettable moments of my career as a DXer, he said. Finnish journalist Mika Makalainen is another de-expeditioner radio enthusiast, best known for his authoritative radio listening site. I've been a DXer since the late 1970s, when shortwave radio to me was a window to the world, he said. With the advent of satellite TV and the Internet, shortwave radio's status as the average person's only source of international broadcasts was supplanted, motivating McElhinen to start chasing remote radio signals to keep his DXing passion stoked and satisfied. Depending on how you count, I've collected verifications from about 4,400 AM and shortwave broadcast stations from around the world, almost 90% of which are from outside Europe, he said. Every winter, I spend a week or two up in Lapland, northern Finland, above the Arctic Circle, on de-expeditions, which to me are the annual highlights of the hobby. Prichwarad Perkayasta of Assam, India, is also a dedicated DXer, so much so that he has gone from merely listening to producing and hosting Indian DX Report on Worldwide Shortwave Service Adventist World Radio and KBS World Radio, a shortwave station broadcasting from South Korea. In January 2012, Perkayasta traveled nearly 1,000 kilometers from Assam for a de-expedition in Mandarmoni, on the southern tip of India's West Bengal coastline, along with fellow members of the Indian DX Club International in January 2012. We not only heard stations from Brazil, but heard stations from international radio from Laos, Indonesia, the United Arab Emirates, the United States, Peru, Madagascar, Oman, Bahrain, Botswana, Armenia, Mali, Israel, Sudan, Zambia, Tunisia, Ethiopia, Rwanda, Germany, and Romania, he said. Like service clubs and team sports, de-expeditions can be a good excuse to get away for a weekend. But unlike clubs and sports, de-expeditions give radio hobbyists a chance to bag the big ones, the signals they can't receive at home due to interfering signals and electrical power noise and the lack of space to set up long, long wire antennas. As well, being able to spend a few dedicated days listening to distant signals allows them to take advantage of occasional changes in the ionosphere that enhance signal propagation. To make their catches, the expeditioners take radios, antenna tuners, and lots of wire with them when they hit the road. The radios can range from the most sophisticated direct-entry push-button digital radios to old tube sets with big dials, hot tubes, and a heftiness that makes them anything but portable. Cheap and cheerful radios are also welcome, since a de-expedition is a great time to test the radio's actual performance in comparison to each other. More than one DXer has been surprised to learn that their cheaper set does, in some cases, perform better than their premium-priced receiver. Food, beverages, often of alcoholic origin, and bedding are also musts, as is protective clothing. This is because the best DXing sites are often the most forbidding, such as McElhinen's DX Collective's Lapland camp, with a heated two-room cabin above the Arctic Circle. It has about 12 kilometers of highly directional beverage antennas and loads of technical stuff, even laptop computers starting next season. So we've really tried to make it as easy as possible for anyone to enjoy this aspect of the hobby, he said. International visitors are welcome as well. We've already had one, and we expect a few more this coming season. Actually, most DX sites are temporary camps requiring tents and other living supplies to be brought in. Smart DXers are known to favor seaside beaches in warmer climates, the ocean being a good path for long-distance signals, where swimming and suntanning are options as well as radio listening. Catching rare signals isn't enough. True DXers send proof of their reception successes to the stations they picked up to get written confirmations back. Such a confirmation report, traditionally a postcard, is known as a QSL. In the past, written reports detailing what was heard and station IDs were considered to be a must, along with details of how well the signal was received. Today, if you record the station ID and send it to the station, it is sufficient proof of picking up the signal, even if you're only able to hear it for 20 to 30 seconds, says McElhinen. So what kind of DX catches have these de-expeditioners achieved? In Finland, catching WCNB from Connersville, Indiana, on 1580 AM with 4.6 watts of power, confirmed by the chief engineer of the station, who himself is a DXer, was a very nice surprise back in 1995, says McElhinen. Another memorable one was hearing Tonga on 1017 kilohertz in 1998, after which Scandinavian DXers seriously started to hunt for even the smallest Pacific island. Some other stations are memorable because of their verifications, such as Bolivian shortwave station Radio Echo, which long ago sent me a small stuffed alligator. I have received a reply from Volcano Radio in Ascension Island, replying to my listening report and heard while a local station was silent for maintenance for some hours, said Negro. I also have in my collection QSL cards that came as a reply from Radio Valladolid in Spain, Radio Monte Carlo, and Switzerland. Today in the Internet age, de-expeditions remain alluring to radio enthusiasts for the same reason that trying to catch the big one is an ongoing motivation for fishing fans. Even after dozens of de-expeditions, I still encounter something interesting every time I go up to Lapland, says Makalainen. For instance, last season, we found a bunch of AM stations from East African countries that had never before been heard in Europe. And that story, called Worldwide De-Expeditions Hunt Elusive Radio Signals, was written by James Careless in the September 3rd edition of Radio World. If you have a news story that you think would be of interest to fellow DX listeners, please send it to Fred Vobey. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service.
From AM to FM, the latest evolution in local radio. This article was written by Johnny Diaz, staff writer for South Florida's Sun Sentinel newspaper, on October 3rd, 2013. What's the frequency, South Florida? If you're wondering why you're hearing some of your favorite AM sports and news talk stations on the FM dial lately, it's part of a recent migration that's changing the airwaves. ESPN West Palm Beach's move to FM last month signaled the most recent dial turn from AM radio. Last year, WAXY 790 AM, The Ticket, also began broadcasting its sports shows on 104.3 FM in the Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, Miami market. It followed news talk station WIOD 610 AM, which can also be heard on 100.3 FM. Experts say it's just the latest evolution of local radio. As music stations flocked from AM to FM in the 1970s and 1980s, AM became more of a dial destination for news talk and sports. Now those stations have increasingly been shifting to FM. AM stations are looking to reinvent themselves and for new programming, said David Jaffe, professor of radio, television, and internet media at Lynn University in Boca Raton. They're trying to come up with something that will enable them to sell advertising. Some stations have made the switch to appeal to younger audiences who have grown up with FM and don't frequent the AM band. Other outlets have made the FM switch to broaden their coverage area and help boost ratings. WAXY, with its AM and FM frequencies, has increased its percentage share of listeners in the country's 11th largest radio market. Unlike AM, which can have a spotty, static-prone signal, the sound quality of FM is clearer and richer. What's also at play is the pursuit of the passionate sports fan, whom advertisers covet. AM stations are following those listeners who are frequenting FM more for sports scores and commentary. Sports radio continues to be one of the strongest segments in all of sports media, said Theodore Curtis, Lynn Associate Professor of Sports Management. It hits that sweet spot of marketing, 18 to 35-year-old men. Overall, AM listenership has been trending downward in South Florida, according to the radio industry rating service Arbitron, which is now known as Nielsen Audio. In the Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, Miami market, 15.6% share of all radio listening went to AM radio in the summer of 2011. That number is now 10.8%, and it's even lower in the Boca Raton, West Palm Beach radio market, according to Nielsen Audio. Of the top 30 most listened to stations by market share in Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Hollywood in August, only 9 were AM, including Univision Radio's WAQI 710 AM and WIOD. In the Boca Raton, West Palm Beach radio market, only 2 AM stations ranked among the top 20 in August. But not all station owners have abandoned AM. They're just supplementing it with FM broadcasts. 2 years ago, WIOD began simulcasting on 100.3 FM, which had religious programming. We wanted to see if by adding FM, we could add a different cume and a younger listening audience, said Grace Blazer, WIOD's program director, referring to listeners ages 35 to 54. Since launching the FM simulcast in April of 2011, WIOD went from 210,000 weekly listeners to 244,000 in April 2013, according to Nielsen Audio. It's been working out well, added Blazer, noting that the FM translator station strengthens WIOD's signal from south of Pompano Beach to North Miami. By moving to 106.3 FM from 760 AM, ESPN West Palm Beach made room for ESPN Desportes to appeal to Palm Beach County's growing Hispanic population. Steve Politzner, general manager of both stations, said he wasn't looking for an FM station for his English affiliate per se until CBS Radio put up urban adult music station WUUB-FM for sale. We were looking for an opportunity to bring ESPN Desportes into the market and be able to grow what our assets were, he said. It didn't matter to us, AM or FM. Stelly acknowledges the power of FM and its ad-friendly listenership. The younger generation is just more accustomed to FM. The switch to FM has not only helped ESPN West Palm Beach penetrate deeper into Palm Beach County, but also south into Broward. The AM signal for ESPN Desportes also helps better target Hispanic sports fans who are accustomed to getting their sports play-by-play and commentary on AM. Officials at Univision's WAQI, which has the highest percentage share of listeners on the AM dial in the Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, Miami market, agreed. In many Latin American countries, radio is the medium of preference, so Hispanics are accustomed to getting their news and sports commentaries via AM radio, said Claudia Puig, senior vice president and regional manager of Univision Radio. AM is still going to be around, according to Kevin Petrich, a media instructor with Florida Atlantic University. It will still have a purpose, he said. What that purpose might be, what kind of role it might be playing, is a fairly difficult thing to predict. This has been From AM to FM, the latest evolution of local radio. This article was written by Johnny Diaz, staff writer for South Florida's Sun Sentinel newspaper. For the DX Audio Service, I'm Wally Warro in Dallas, Texas.
It seems the whole world is going digital, and at least one country is planning on digital replacing analog by 2018. This article is titled, Tuning Out, Analog Radio to Disappear by 2018. Commercial stations and the BBC expected to confirm the switchover to digital services, 40 years after Britain's first independent station opened, by Ian Burrell of the UK's The Independent, on Friday, October 4th, 2013. Analog radio sets are likely to be consigned to history by the first half of 2018, the head of Britain's commercial radio trade body has said, and she called on government to set out a clear timetable for the industry's digital switchover. Linda Smith, chief executive of Radio Center, which represents commercial stations across the country, predicted that the analog radio signal would survive 6 years beyond last year's switch-off in the television sector. The switchover would be 3 years later than recommended in a major government report in 2009. If I were a betting person, I would say the range of dates for switchover would be from the end of 2017 and 2020, she told The Independent. I think it's more likely to be quarter one or quarter two of 2018. Both the BBC and commercial radio are expected to make a firm commitment to supporting the digital switchover at the Radio Festival that takes place in Salford on October 14th. Ed Vasey, the communications minister, is expected to give an indication of the switchover date at the Go Digital Conference, which will take place at the BBC's new broadcasting house on December 16th and be attended by major car manufacturers as well as radio industry figures. Ms. Smith was speaking out ahead of the 40th anniversary of the commercial radio industry in Britain this month. The sector has produced a roll of honor that includes prominent commercial radio presenters such as Chris Evans, Chris Tarrant, and Christian O'Connell, as well as industry luminaries including Sir Richard Attenborough, founder of London's Capital Radio, and the global radio bosses Ashley Tabor and Richard Park. Celebrations will take place on Tuesday to mark the birthday of the first station, London Talk Network, LBC. Today there are 335 stations with a total audience of 35.1 million. Ms. Smith said digital listening was currently at 36.8%, and she was confident it would grow to account for the majority of listening at some time in 2015. Television was in an equivalent place back in 2003. When you have people doubting, you can look at the comparison with TV and see how quickly they moved. Lord Carter's 2009 Digital Britain report proposed that radio switchover should take place by 2015, but Ms. Smith denied that a 2018 switchover was too unambitious. I don't think it's too slow, and it gives the smaller operators, as well as the bigger operators, time to think through what they are going to broadcast and how they manage the transition. It's about what the consumers believe. I'm sure there are people who think it should be faster, but I think it's pragmatic. She said she would be disappointed if the government fails to set out a timetable by the end of the year. There's an industry that works on the back of this, and to continue the uncertainty and prolong the date, whether you are a car manufacturer fitting DAB radios or a consumer thinking of what sort of radio to buy, that starts to get quite difficult, she says. I genuinely believe the TV market got it spot on in terms of the campaigns they ran and the in-store education they did. If you think about all the doomsayers on the TV switchover, actually, there were no problems. She acknowledged that shops were still selling analog radios and said that was part of the reason why she thought the switchover shouldn't happen too quickly. According to recent research from the broadcast regulator Ofcom, analog sets fell last year by 1 million units to 3.7 million. Ms. Smith also called for a relaxation of some of the regulations that determine the location of commercial stations, saying that the local knowledge of the presenters was more important than the site of the broadcast. We need to think differently about how we create more freedom for stations to operate, she said. A recent audit of commercial radio output found that fewer than 20% of stations operate on a totally standalone basis. Strict regulations on the music output of some commercial stations, such as indie network XFM and rock station Absolute Radio, were unfair, she said. Our view is that categories and definitions have to change, she said. This article was titled, Tuning Out, Analog Radio to Disappear by 2018. Commercial stations and the BBC expected to confirm the switchover to digital services, 40 years after Britain's first independent station opened, by Ian Burrell of the UK, The Independent newspaper. For the DX Audio Service, I'm Phil Wayne.
And that's it for this edition of the DX Audio Service for November 2013. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff, hopefully with a little bit better voice. Until next time, 73 Good DX, and get out and support radio. Now, a rather unique radio station sign-off.
And now, as the sun sinks slowly into Arkansas, WTAK is forced to leave the air. The Federal Communications Commission says we can't interfere with Yankee stations. Actually, we don't have to. They manage to mess things up very nicely all by themselves, thank you. We're also prohibited by treaty from interfering with super powerful Mexican stations.
To bet your chalupas, gringo.
Probably part of a farsighted plan by the Mexican government to provide all the comforts of home and entertainment to millions of illegal aliens who have taken up residence here. Another star in the crown of our State Department. The Federal Communications Commission has, in fact, granted us a provisional relaxation of the rules that will allow us to stay on the air past sunset for a total of 7 minutes. If we spend $250,000 modifying our equipment to prevent interference with our neighbors to the south and our neighbors to the north, we could do this if we devoted that extra 7 minutes entirely to commercials for the next 276 years to pay for the equipment modification.
How does that sound to you, mister?
I think it sucks.
And so, as the shades of night slowly descend, we'll leave our frequency, 1,000 kilohertz, to the Yankees. And to the, our neighbors to the south.
Be very careful, gringo.